listen to people living with disabilities.
So these are people who are usually not listened to, isn't it?
And if we hear from all those, you also have to hear from just the average, because mental health is not mental illness. And so as we discussed, we should also be looking at ways of ensuring people have good mental health, and that we can prevent mental illness, and that we can treat people who have mental illness, and that we have long-term plans to help people who have been impaired or disabled by mental illness. So this is why we are here today, and we are looking forward to listening to those views. The first thing we are going to do is that we have a list of people who have submitted memoranda, people and organizations that have submitted memoranda. I am going to use that in the beginning, if you allow me, to give those who have submitted memoranda a few minutes just to highlight what is in those memoranda.
And if you look at the document, we have the list of the organizations plus the logo. We met on 15th of January 2020, and we discussed into detail why there is need for us to upscale our actions toward mental health. We realized that it has been a neglect area, and this one has made we have no data, and without data, we have no budget. Without budget, we have no activity. So that is why we came together to see that as CSO in Kisumu County. So as I stand, I don't represent my own organization, but I'm talking on behalf of other 45 stakeholders who I think majority are also here. So we look at the areas that we are supposed to tackle, from coordination, resources, personnel, data, service delivery, advocacy, along other service areas. And we have representations that are going to be made on coordination by the B.
I think I'll take 1 minute, 2 minutes at most. I think we are looking at coordination of mental health activities in Kisumu, and that is a priority area to us, that actually mental health need to be coordinated. And in coordination, we have subdivided the areas that we need. One, we need a formation of mental health board at the national level and at the county level. Number two, we need psychiatry services to be coordinated. And these psychiatry services will include promotive, curative, and preventive services. And then we need also, number three, we need psychosocial services also to be coordinated, and these will include all psychosocial interventions, to include counseling, group work, and all psychosocial services. We also need rehabilitative services to be coordinated at the county and at the national level, where we have a rehab for substance abuse, a rehab for alcohol addiction, and a rehab for other mental disorders that can be rehabilitated. So we need a rehab for that. And then number five, we need monitoring and evaluation for purposes of planning and programming mental health services. So we need data which are generated. As we look at how health report their data, mental health doesn't have a distinct data in terms of the leading causes of mental health services, of mental sickness and other things. So we need that come out clearly. We also need how to see how this data can be collected, how this data can be analyzed for the purposes of programming and planning. And finally, we need ecosystem for the mental health activities, for the purposes of clear pathway, for the clear referral pathway. As we stand as Kisumu County, we have a very big challenge in terms of the referral, because we have two hospitals with distinct management. That is County Hospital and Jaramogi Oginga Odinga Referral Hospital. So you see, inpatient, in terms of psychiatry patients, are being seen at Kisumu County Hospital. And when it comes to outpatient, they are seen in another hospital. So when it comes to reporting and even resource allocation, it is a challenge. We don't have a clear way of even how to share the resources, if there is any. Thank you and be blessed.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let me take over from where she has left. I want to tackle two issues. My name is Cosmas Ngisa. I work at Jaramogi Referral Psychiatric Clinic. So, on mental health motivation of staff, we had issues which we identified that we thought about. We have few mental health staff in the county. This is associated to stigma and also being an unpopular area of study in mental health. Very few opting to take those courses. And also there is the motivation, which is due to high workload. This is a pilot study in the county for UHC. The number of clients we saw for the last few years have gone up because of that program of the government's UHC. So we had a proposal on this. One is to introduce incentives to the people who are taking up the courses. For example, the scholarships to training for those who are not trained, giving one higher job group for those who are already working, specialized in those areas of mental health, that is doctors, nurses, CEOs, that's clinical officers, psychologists, so that they continue also getting the motivation and supporting this, because the numbers are very few. We also discussed the government can increase personnel and also support system to deal with the staff burnouts. This workload also affecting the burnout of staffs. Let me talk about the mental health training and capacity building. We had issues which we identified, that's lack of capacity building due to logistics. For example, the IT system, computers, and also transport to make people move so that they can get the capacity building. The proposal is that we had provision of support to those areas and also cascade what is there in the WHO, the quality rights training to the counties. Then we had a point of the national government to provide logistics such as vehicles, transport services, computers and other relevant materials. Another issue here, we had a challenge in operationalizing our mobile clinics because the community component is really lagging behind because we can't move from one point to the other to take care of the preventive part, because when you discharge a patient, you need to find out what's happening at the community level. Thank you. I have hand over to my friend.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Raphael Wambura, a psychiatric clinician at the county hospital. I'm just going to talk about mental health data and also mental health service delivery in this county.
That is the regular thing for our hospital offering outpatient services. That kind of system is disjointed because patients coming from close to Kisumu County Hospital seeking outpatient services, they can't get outpatient services. They have to go to the provincial hospital to get the outpatient services. And then the provincial hospital or duty arrives still requires for inpatient management to Kisumu County Hospital. So that system can also be disturbing to people who are suffering from mental illness. Then another thing, provision of quality mental health services is related to the density of professionals in that clinic. Currently in Kisumu County, we only have two psychiatric clinical officers based at the county hospital. We have about 10 nurses in the county, and we have 28 occupational therapies. So such kind, we don't have any psychiatrist. There's one undergoing training, and then we have two psychiatrists supporting from Maseno University. They don't come on a regular basis. They only come to support their students, but in service provision to people suffering from mental illness is so much impact. Then with the global trend of the institutionalization of mental health care services, we still do not have community psychiatric services, which is an important component in that area. And then rehabilitation and even space for mental health services. Other services, other components of healthcare have spaces to run their activities, but when it comes to mental health, space is actually lacking. Then on mental health data, we do not have, it's a recommendation in the Kenya mental health policy that we have mental health information systems. it is not in place. The data in DHIS only captures mental illness as mental disorders. There are so many mental disorders, so we don't know which one is which. So we are calling for review of data management tools so that we have all those mental illnesses captured.
So there needs to be development of a policy on county advocacy and preventive activities. This policy should give guidelines on to facilitate multi-sectoral awareness campaigns. That's whereby all stakeholders are brought together and campaigns on matters of mental health are held in tandem. And also there needs to be awareness creation on mental health and suicide to enhance knowledge and also to dispel stigma. Now, going to other mental health services, there are key issues were Kisumu County currently does not have mental health services for special populations. These special populations, we know them as persons with disabilities, people living with HIV and the LGBTI community and the transgender. Also, children with special needs, their interests have not been catered for because the number of schools that cater for special needs education are very few, and sometimes you find that parents find it hard to get spaces in those few schools. So we need to digitize mental health. As we are digitizing health, there needs to be digitization of mental health also, because the digital platform is important in addressing health problems in Kenya. And as mental health is digitized, it will reach a wider population and more people will get to have this knowledge about mental health. So there needs to be policy guidelines for provision of mental health services to special populations and persons with disabilities, people living with HIV and LGBTI and transgender communities. We need to develop national assessment tools which can be used for early detection and proper referral for children and with special needs and other mental health conditions. We also need to digitize mental health, as I previously said, and we also need to support mental health conferences which can be brought down now. We had the national one at the national level, but we can do them in regions just as the task force has been meeting people in regions. We need to have regional mental health conferences where people can come in and share ideas and see how we can push the mental health agenda forward. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So on the mental health research policy, we realize that we have several bills and policies which are not yet approved and implemented. When you look at the Kenya National Mental Health Bill, health policy, that is for 2015 to 2030, looking at the Mental Health Act 1989 and the Mental Health Bill 2018, they're not implemented. And to add on that, we also look at the abuse of human rights. People living with mental health issues are so much into getting being abused, that is through their rights. So we came with several proposals which included that each county should have the specific policies and legislations which have the budgetary allocations, that is for its implementation, that is per county. And then we also offered the facilitation of approval of the different mental health data, not data, the different mental health policies in each county. On the human rights and the mental health, we said that the human rights-based approach should be integrated in the mental health, should be integrated in the mental health delivery. To address the issues of social determinants, we thought of the synergy between bringing together the different stakeholders, that is the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Agriculture, so that to help in conquering the mental health issues.
This is a document for the people of Kisumu, owned by them, originated from them, and we are waiting for your feedback. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name is Anna Osiru. I'm a counseling psychologist, and Optiva is made up of three partners. We are also counselor trainers with the Kenya Institute of Professional Counseling here in Kisumu, and we also practice our counseling profession from the same institution. So we prepared our presentation as per the layout in the advert, and we looked at mental health issues in Kisumu, which in a nutshell I want to say that under childhood problems, we looked at what is currently happening in Kisumu, where we have an upsurge of incest, child sexual abuse, and even physical abuse in the home, in the school, and even out there in the society. We also looked at child neglect, which is also impacting so much on child mental status. And then we looked at parenting issues, which are quite rampant, absent parents, and so on. And then we looked at in schools, the childhood stresses that the children suffer from. We are having a overpopulation in our schools, and therefore they are not getting so much attention as would be the case, and this therefore also impacts adult personality. And then we are looking at in the community what these children are also exposed to, and we are looking at the transport system, the border riders, so that they are also vulnerable when it comes to sexual abuse and even abduction, which has also become a problem in Kisumu, as has been recently exposed on our electronic media. And then we also looked at the adolescent problems that we are having in Kisumu. We are looking at rebellion, which is of course an unexpected adolescent problem. Unprotected sex, unwanted pregnancies are on the increase, STIs. And then we looked also at truancy and substance abuse, occultism, quite common right now in the adolescent, if you happen to the schools around, which we do quite a bit. And then religious extremism is also catching up with us. Poverty, which also tends to transcend most of our psychological or mental health problems in this county. And we are also looking at exposure to pop culture through the electronic media. And also we are looking at the poor social skills which are impacting on adolescent relationships, such as dating, breakups, and lately we are seeing the effects of the same in terms of suicide, in terms of homicide, and all manner of reactions, aggressive acts. Then we are also looking at problems that are unique to adults in Kisumu. We are looking at poverty, compounded of course by unemployment and very unconducive business environment. If you walk through Kisumu, you'll see the amount of destruction and demolition of the small-scale businesses, and this definitely impacts the mental health who are affected. We have very high rates of substance abuse in our estates. We have lack of mental awareness programs. We also have poor uptake of mental health programs, which may be available in our midst. We have lack of investment opportunities and lack of mental health sites. From the mentioning that is going on, you keep on hearing about psychiatry. So those seem to be the mental health sites that are pronounced out here. When it comes to the elderly in Kisumu, again, issues of poverty are paramount, and this leads to very serious mental health problems. And then we also seeing an increase in neglect of the elderly. Most of them are now doing our streets begging. And then of course lack of opportunities for elderly people, which leads either to alcoholism, depression, and even early death. And then we have the physically challenged in our midst. Again, these are special populations who suffer high levels of stigma, and they are also undergoing a lot of exploitation by family members and inability to access the mental health services because of unfriendly infrastructure. And as a result, they suffer depression, anxiety disorders. A very special category, again, special population, the mentally ill, again, because of high stigmatization. And then there is also poor access to psychiatric services. As mentioned, that we have very few psychiatrists to attend to them. And then we also lack community services like halfway houses, where probably they could be attended to. A very special population, not to forget the last one, are the prisoners. We have two big prisons in Kisumu. There's Kibos Prison, we have Kodiaga, which is called Kisumu Main Prison, which houses both men, and the Kisumu Women Prison. Again, who attends to their mental health, quite limited or neglected altogether. The second issue to address was the proposed practical solutions to the mental health issues. This is what we came up with first. We need a clear delineation between the professionals or the professions that make up the mental health, so that we are not talking psychiatry thinking that is what mental health profession that there is, but we are having so many who are all attending to our mental health. So we need that clarity so that it will also follow that Therefore, people will be seeking services from the right professional, and not everybody, maybe who needs a sociologist or needs a psychologist, seeing a psychiatrist and vice versa. We are also quite aware of the fact that our constitution to take care of counselors and psychologists, the bill went through way back in 2014, is when the president assented to it, but that was it. How we wish that this could actually be revamped so as to be able to regulate the mental health profession in this country. I don't know whether psychiatrists are safe, whether they have a body that may be through Kenya Medical. We are also looking at another practical solution is prevention programs, and how we wish that we could have more mental health and self-awareness public forums, individual and group counseling in schools, churches, hospitals, in the workplace. Establishment of mental health sites, very critical, and this includes the counseling agencies, psychiatric clinics, rehabilitation clinics, and even shelters for maybe safety, domestic violence, and so on. And then periodic workshops for professional developments are very necessary. Adolescent mental health clinics, because they are a very special group who will not want to mix with any adult, right from provision of services to even you know, just helping them to grow through their mental growth. And then electronic media health awareness programs, either using the local radio stations and television stations and all that to try and enhance mental health awareness. And then inclusive mental health, all inclusive mental health forums, just like this one, whereby you have a psychologist on board, you have the various schools of applied psychology and psychiatrists, so that we can share our experiences and even have a better multi-agency coordination. And then funding research on mental health by government. I think this is a highly neglected area that needs to be taken care of. We need to establish and recognize diverse mental health professionals, just like I said, without repeating, so that we are not doing somebody else's work, and so that we have an organized referral system. And then we also need collaborative services between patients, professionals, and government agencies, and then provision of tracking treatment patients with mental health issues, so that he's not complaining he doesn't have medicine, and what is happening to him therefore. Okay. Level of preparedness, I think this was the last item, to address mental health issues, training and competence, very critical. Who is this who is offering the service? There are a number of psychologists and counselors and psychiatrists who need proper structures to operationalize their services. Therefore, we need a policy, one, we need regulation, two, and we need separation of duties, three. Next, self-awareness to the general public can be initiated through mass media such as community radio and chiefs barazas. Thirdly, direct government involvement through Ministry of Health to fund various mental health activities. And lastly, non-governmental organization with a bias to mental health to be brought on board.
Thank you very much. The fourth memorandum I have is from Amani Counseling Center and Training Institute.
I'm Said Ambitious with Shane. I'm going to summarize. In the last 3 years, we have actually our data, according to the clients that have been seen in our Kisumu office, and our Kisumu office covers up to from Kericho up to Busia, this side up to Isebania, Kakamega, Eldoret, up to those ends. In the last 3 years, we have seen 3,403 clients presenting with different issues. And I'm going to touch mainly the first three issues. Majorly, the first one is relationship issues with marital issues, divorce, separation, and even divorce among people who are dating. Followed by alcohol and substance abuse, emotive issues, depression, anxiety, stress, anger, suicidal ideation, and this is really catching up with us, especially when it comes to the rate at which we are killing one another, the rate at which people are killing themselves. In the last 10 years or so, suicide was not very common among females. but it's really up now. And one thing that is coming up, especially for females, that they go for the most painful means of healing themselves. Children again, adolescents, those who are not able to go to school, probably because of one reason or another, adolescents, a number of them are actually resorting to killing themselves, either as a way of threatening people so that they can be helped. But again, we are told that any death threats should not be taken for granted. And therefore, on that note, I want to plead with us, with the chiefs, and all those who are in power, that we should find a way of decriminalizing suicide. So that when someone says, I'm going to commit suicide, I should not be taken to the chief or to the sub-chief, but should be taken to the right places, places where we can get help. Other issues that we have, that have actually come up within the last 3 years, technology-related issues, most people are coming, getting more addicted to technology. Anxiety-related, especially during election periods, what happens to the losers, those who lose elections, both after spending, after having spent millions of their, what they have saved. Clinical depression, suicide, and processed trauma. We have a number of things that happen in our life, but we are not able to address them effectively, and therefore they come up in different ways through, you know, committing suicide, violent behaviors, for some, maybe others are restarting their duties. Gambling is becoming real. People getting millions loans, and they waste it, they put it into gambling. Personally, I cannot gamble in 5 shillings, and probably because of awareness. And therefore, even as we talk about counseling, about mental health, there should also be a lot of focus, especially in creating awareness on the effects of gambling. Some practical solutions to some of the issues, collaboration, working with the nurses, the medics, the psychiatrists, the social workers, and referrals. Yeah. Probably I get a client who present the suicide. It is important that we all learn to refer cases, issues that you may not handle. A doctor, a psychiatrist, you get an issue that you are not able to handle, can you also learn to refer to counselors? Enhancing professional and functional counseling units, both at schools, in hospitals, again, so that we don't just talk about, because what is known in hospitals is HIV testing cancer, which is done by everyone. Demystifying counseling through awareness campaigns. Let us simplify counseling and even mental health in general, so that when we talk about mental health, one should be aware that we are not talking about mental illness. We are not talking about, you know, madness in the language of the villages back then. Embracing mental health services and Catholic services in general. This one should start with us. Yeah? So that you are a medic, you are a teacher, you are, you know, whoever. We should know that counseling is for everyone. Yeah, streamlining counseling so that it is only done by accredited and professionally trained people. And I'm saying that because counseling is one area that
can be done by anyone. In building beauty shops,
you know, you go where people are taking care of their nails.
But counseling also become part, you know, package of what is offered in such kind of shops, including the herbalist, the doctor who from, you know, Majimareku and such kind of names. Some of the services that they offer, with a lot of respect to them, some of the services that they offer is huge. And therefore, this task force, you really need to take that one. It should come out clearly that counseling should not be left in the hands of everyone.
Such that we have a counseling unit that serves the way the clinical units, the way the psychiatrists, and even the way teachers serve. You cannot be a teacher unless you are accredited by TSC. And you also have, you know, evidence. And probably these are some of the issues that we are facing in the world of counseling. Recognition of counselors and psychologists. And again, I've talked about decriminalization of some hard behaviors, like violence. So that when someone presents with an arm and brilliant shape, of course, because of our past presenter, a number of us, including myself, was quite blunt on what was going on in him. I want to believe that, including myself, they might have judged him. Yeah. And that one shows our level of awareness, especially when it comes to mental health issues. So let us decriminalize suicidal tendency, violent behaviors, what else? If I go home, you know, I should be able to probably take some help. And these are issues that we just let go without major attention.
Thank you very much, and again you've touched on important areas. The last memorandum I have before I think I open it up for everyone is from Caroline Oren. Please come forward.
How about the proposal that I wrote is to sensitize the community of signs and symptoms of mental health issues to help society to be aware when to avoid, when they know the stress level is coming in, so that they can seek medical attention rather than just going to take Panadol for the pain that they're going through. To have psychologists graded and given job groups after graduating from universities and colleges, then employ them in government facilities for easy accessibility, availability of services, and affordable services to every Kenyan citizen. When you come to our place where I work in Kenya, how many people can afford that? Therapy is on sessions. So each session you pay to take, how many people can afford that? Very few, right? But if the government employs psychologists in government facilities, they have that ability to come and sit for this and sit there. But I don't understand why the government will have the people being trained in universities and they're not graded in jobs. It doesn't make sense to me at all. So let them graded and be given jobs like those, the nurses and the teachers and everybody else. Detach counseling from guidance and counseling teachers and make it a department of its own, so that the teacher can concentrate on education in academic and psychologists concentrate on the child's mental health fully. With a teacher who has 100 people and papers to mark and books to mark, cannot really concentrate on a child who is going through mental health. We are life workers. It can't happen. No matter how good you are, it can't happen. So if you have psychologists in schools, colleges, universities, they will be able to identify these kind of cases and deal with them up to the end. Because most of these cases, they come from the home. A psychologist will go up to the home and find out why is this child behaving the way they are behaving. Make sure workplaces have psychologists on the ground to help the staff cope with work burnout, office politics, help in avoiding problems with positive attitudes, so that they can turn their anxiety into useful efforts instead of turning their negative attitudes towards spouses and their children. Very common. Mostly it's civil servants they usually have this burnout. We can't deny that. A nurse is having a 20 to take care of. How do you expect them to be always smiling from morning up to evening, smiling like, hey, let me have it. It can't happen. Because they have burnout. Where do they go to when they have cases? These people usually go through death. They take care of people who are dying, who are very sick. They are taking care of people who have issues. So who takes care of them? That is why they usually say nurses in Burkina have bad attitude. But have you ever considered why they have the bad attitude? We've never. Because they do not have somewhere they can go to and talk about their issues. Sometimes you don't need anybody to talk to you. Just talk to their community, right? So if you have these psychologists in public facilities, you can always go there and have this thing burnout we talked about. Involve community psychologists, programs for children guidance, helpful houses, programs for rehabilitation, drug abuse, help the youth adjust with concerns, learning career, help the middle age and the old age patients. Another time I was talking to this lady and she was telling me she was very sick. And she told me about many things. So I told her, young lady, you are going through menopause. And she was like, oh my God, I can't be menopause. Well, yeah, it's menopause. Because she was sick. She didn't understand what was going on in her life. All the tests are negative. What about the young ones who are finishing colleges? Where do they go to? Who directs them? Who tells them that it's okay to have a job, but you have something called talent and gift? What can you use with that as you're waiting to be employed somewhere else? Instead of Bangalore somewhere. You know, Bangalore, yet you have your papers and you really work hard. So if you have these psychologists in the community, they will help the youth to get to understand that they do not have to rely on their educational papers, but they can also rely on their gifts and talents and do something out of it. Guardians in children's court include pro bono services from lawyers and psychologists in order to help others rehabilitate children offenders without referring to them today. We've had this came from a lawyer who was very passionate because he was like, most of these children, the offense they do, they're sent to jail. They don't need to be taken to jail. They just need to be taken to a psychologist to them, right? Because if you put them in jail, they go and get even more worse. Most likely they get more worse because you put them hardcore criminals. That's the reason they are in. They will learn from it. So how do you expect them to come up rehabilitated? So if we have them around us all the time, we are going to have these children be taken care of without really putting them in jail, because that the jail is really, really hard for them. I am glad that because where I work, like I said before, our doctors, our medical officers, our nurses, and even the midwives, they surely know when to call in a psychiatrist and when to call in a psychologist. They know this case needs a psychiatrist and this case needs to follow up to them. So it's a really hard. Finally, attach psychologists with psychiatrists. When I was taking my internship, I worked with a psychiatrist and he was like, I wish you had this. Because as you are giving this medication to a client, who takes them through the issue of relapse? Because you do not want somebody to take drugs into their leg, do you? No one wants to take drugs into their leg. They hurt your kidneys. So if you have a psychologist attached to a psychiatrist, then the psychiatrist is doing his medical part and psychologist is taking this plan through the issues of not relapsing and to delay the issues of the drugs.
I am Mullins Teddy Okoko. I'm a medical student. And what I want to say is very brief. What the first speaker said, I felt it because I'm also, you know, I'm a recovering drug addict. You're getting it. So I can relate what he's talking about. I can also ask you the same question. We this is something which we started talking about in 2018 and the years prior to that. Why is there not a person living with a mental condition, mental disorder in this task force right here? So please let us turn and do things differently. And like you said, the Kisumu County is full of vibrant, young people, like-minded youths, you know. We are the people with the energy, you know, and we have a lot to offer, you know. So let us come together and see on how we can work.
My name is Dorcas Odwar. I'm a teacher by profession, so I'm going to talk. But as now I'm working with an organization known as Third Space Organization, which deals with skills-based health programs in schools. So when it comes to mental health issues, what is the importance of identifying these mental health issues earlier and in the perspective of these young people. As a teacher, we have very many problems in the classroom there. You know, a child comes to school, he has these issues from home. And due to the over-enrollment in schools nowadays, it's very hard for a teacher to perform individualized instruction one-on-one to each student. So by the end of the day, you just come, teach, and go. You know that you are through with the objective of the day, but most pupils in the classroom, they have nothing because they have problems either in school here or at home. So what is the importance of identifying these mental health issues? Number one, it will help to alleviate the enormous sufferings of young people and their families, the families dealing with these children who have these behavioral health challenges. Number two, helps in the providing of early care in helping this young person to recover quickly and benefit from their education. Three, it will help the young person to develop healthier relationships, leading to more productive and to have a meaningful life. Then number four, it will lead to this young person to have improved academic performance and better outcomes in their emotional, social, and psychological spheres in life. So this mental health issue is really affecting children in school. So as parents, we must know how to identify at home. We as teachers also, how to identify a child who has mental health issues, so as to know how to go about when giving them instruction. Thank you.
My name's Kijo James Kipchoge Kiplagat. I come from Nandi County, just at the border of Vihiga and Kisumu County. So I would have gone to maybe Kapsabet if it were there, but Kapsabet is very far from this place. So I'm a psychologist, trained and equipped with counseling skills. And my main issue is actually the way forward, because as the young man has talked about, we all know what is happening. We all know the problem. It's how to solve the problem. And to solve this problem, I, on my own view, so I'm proposing a national structure of psychological services department, which will have a director of psychological services at the MOH headquarters, just like the way we have the director of probation services, we have the director of children services, and all those. And then we have regional coordinators of psychological services, and then we come to county directors of psychological services. And at the same time, we can have sub-county assistant directors. And then we have counselors now on the ground, so that we are in learning institutions, i.e. primary and secondary schools, tertiary schools, and correctional facilities, like rehabs, prisons, police station, as somebody said, when somebody is taken to a police station, somebody goes to report a threat. You see, a policeman cannot prosecute somebody without enough evidence. And if somebody has threatened you verbally and you are too, there is no way you will prosecute that. So the best thing is just to refer this person who threatened the other one to actually attend some counseling, so that the whole problem could be solved, rather than waiting for an incident to occur to actually implement the threat, so that it is now a situation. Now we are having so many killings, and somebody reported a threat. And my friend here, this mother, said that we should not criminalize such things. It should be an avenue of actually extracting the right procedure to follow. So my second point is actually on primary and secondary schools. And these are the young people who we have to nurture properly, because in the later life, we should not have more problems. Because most of the cases, if they are nurtured very well in the primary schools and secondary schools, through guiding and counseling by professionals, we don't need to have teachers as guiding and counseling teachers. They humiliate students and pupils. They discuss them in public, in staff rooms, and even in the assembly. Even others mentioning that, wewe, baba yako anakuchukia sababu ya ujinga yako na mama yako. You see such things, how can that, and this is a family issue that is actually contributing to indiscipline cases in school. And a parent will always say, tumewaachia walimu kazi, amuangali wanafunzi. When they are at home, they don't bother us. When they are in school, they bother. That one is because there is unethical practices and incompetence in those schools. So we have to shape children from the tender age. My third point, which is the second last one, is having a national umbrella for psychologists and counselors, which is actually recognized and answerable to the Department of Psychological Services. Since professional bodies are coming up with proposals and so many things, each are proposing their own means, they are trying to take one another to court, they should be given functions and delegated duties by the Council of Psychological Services, which is answerable to the Director of Psychological Services. Developing policies that clearly state roles, functions and regulations regarding psychological and counseling services in Kenya. At correctional departments, police station, government, all government departments, and also for victims of circumstances in the community. That one is just to be within community setup, like being in the chief's office, religious institutions, hospitals, private practice, consultation in justice system, educational institutions. Because in justice system, you know very well, some people could actually go through the justice system and then they are prosecuted, they are jailed, but then they cannot overcome certain situations that actually encounter them along the way.
Janet, when you got the sector of Maendeleo Wanawake, to my points. Number one, family virtues. We need to now work on parenting and moral building to take care of mental health. As the men of the house or the women of the house, we need to train our children, not just leaving it to the teacher, but just what she was talking about. If you abuse your child in the house, you tell her how the stupid as the mother, or maybe how the father is, and you expect that child to be morally upright. There's no school where morals are being taught. So morals begin in the house, and for me, mental health, 30% or maybe 40 is within the community spaces. So it's hard to must work on parenting and family virtues, even through the chief camps, to make sure that we have community forums where we can create a space and talk about the issues that affect us socially in our own spaces. Even as we wait for the government to put up those structures. We could be having structures, we could even have this gospel having a capacity of maybe 100 people that will be taken care of mental health. But if you are not part of it, it will not be done. So to me, let us now and encourage the county governments to make us have resource centers and also community social halls where we can have spaces for community for us, and maybe national government should take care of that. Because even if you have pro bono counselors, they have a space where people can meet and we talk about some of these issues. Some of this you just need somebody to talk to. Maybe when I'm being beaten in the house with a wife, I don't need something to just say, even me, your father was like that and whatever. Sometimes I just need her chest just lie and I just cry the whole day, then I feel better. I don't need to be counseled at that time. So you're busy counseling me and I don't listen to what you're talking about. So sometimes you just need spaces to talk. So we need those spaces. Number two, staff stigma. What do you do when the healer is more sick than you? So more often than not, because the staff, we do not have enough of human capacity, you go to hospital, the nurse is already sick. The doctor is already sick because they have a lot of burnout. So who is healing the healer? So we also need to be doing debriefing services for these few people who are entitled to these jobs or who are supposed to take care of us. Because if I have a psychiatrist, I have a mental case, I talk to a doctor who is already mentally ill that the patient that I'm bringing in, then nothing going on. So could we have debriefing lessons for the people who are in this mental health space, so that they also get also incentives. Just go to give them a bit of promotion, even if you don't give them the rank and just have a bit of salary, just kidogo too, so that they also feel nice. So you have to promote 15 years back and you expect them to do mental health and they are only in the whole of the nation, or maybe some. Tool for mental health in terms of identification. Mental health identification, even if people walk along the street, how do you identify people, even the spaces, the institutions where we work, when people have got mental health? So could you advise the national government to provide us with a standard tool
where we can use it for mental health and education. More often than not, even if you go to hospitals, the DHIS presents mental cases or mental health as mental disorder. And mental disorder, that is, you cannot use it for resource mobilization for different segments of mental health. And again, you can also not use that to give the right data on the mental health issues that we have. So could we have also that DHIS segregating the data on the mental health issues? Yeah, they're just mentioning mental health disorder, so that we have resource mobilization for it. Develop policies to guide intersectoral collaboration between ministries, departments, and agencies. And I'll talk about drug acts. That is the drug abuse. When you're talking about mental health for the youth, you cannot separate drug abuse. And for the women, you cannot separate children departments and also the matrimonial act. And also the gender-based violence part of it. So we also have gender issues. So we need to have collaboration with these agencies and departments and ministries, and also in terms of gender, children department, and the health department that's also talking about drug abuse, so that when they're developing their policies, and also when also they're having the interdepartmental programs, some can be matched, and then we map them, and we have the limited resources, these different departments being synergized. Drugs. We talk to women, and sometimes they go to the hospital and there's no change. I really plead with them to go to the hospital. But I've realized they're just the first generation drugs. So when there are side effects, they drop it, and now they cannot get treated. So as much as also you did for HIV and AIDS, and you have first line, second line, and then also third line, you can also get second line generation of these drugs of mental health, so that you don't just use that one of 1961, the first one. Have a new generation. Number three, you said that you work with World Health Organization. So can we also have a World Health Organization equality rights of the mental health? I know that you can work on and it's in the docket. Yeah, and it's not a tall order for you, you can do it. So have World Health Organization equality rights on the mental health, so that it can also help us. We need to have IC materials to also help the youth understand the language, the youth-friendly language, women-friendly language. And the men also love you, but I'm used to the women, so you are also there. You'll find yourself there. We need to have those IC materials. Yeah, babies, meaning I'm bringing the man, so you'll find yourself with dinner there. So IC materials that are also free, that you can also use, like what my brother was talking about. If you have a tool that you maybe can use, also you can understand, also for the people with disability, let us have those IC materials for them. And on that, we need transport. To be provided by the county and national government to the service, to facilities. Because sometimes we have this, we have the mental health, not for the sake. And even as women in the house, there's no way you can carry this son of yours or your husband or your brother to the hospital because of lack of transport. You need to tie them in the ropes and you need to have like a whole village to help you take the person to the hospital. So you resort to tying them to your granary, you come to your kitanda. Back at least you go to a gari. So provide transport so that we can take these people to the health facilities. Data on spiritual healers. You know, most people with the mental cases, they go to a yoga. You know that. So spiritual healers and conventional leaders, we also need to have their data so that the researchers can develop something. Or more often than not, they don't reach the institution or maybe health facilities, but they end up at those places. So can we have also their data for interventions? Then develop policies to guide media. Media, we need to capacity build them on sensitive mental health reporting, considering mental health patients and their families. Sometimes a woman has got a mental health case, when I come to education, everything is on TV, when a woman sits with the legs open, now that a woman has bitten a dog. But when the men visiting most times around them, it is just okay. It's dog biting a man. So can we have our privacy concealed as women in terms of mental health because nobody is supporting us? And this media that keep on reporting things, we need to capacity build them. After capacity building them, now we develop a media regulation policy on breach of privacy control. Ukishaambia mtu what you're supposed to do, sasa then unapatia policy. Like a breach, I don't know where they land up, but we also need women to be protected.
So what we are talking about is the brain. We are not talking about anything. We are not talking about the legs, the hands, but the brain. That is your head. There are nerves, central nervous system. But let me tell you, An African is an African. You use your own products, produce them. You will be better off. Use natural medicine. All these things you are talking of, you know, people, you know, they have very low opinion of people, you know, doing traditional medicine. Yes, you are eating traditional medicine. All the carrots, all the bananas, all the pawpaws, maize. You go and Google what I'm saying. Right then, there. Those are medicines which can replenish your brain and you look a better person. You'll never be sick.
When we were campaigning for county government, one of the proposals that we have, the so-called Nyamrarua. I think there are people that need to map out in our families to know the challenges of what families are going through, to find out how those who are health issues can be handled. And as we speak, go and tell the president that we do not have those Nyamrarua still because the budget of the Kisumu County cannot allow for anyone to be paid under Nyamrarua. Director who is in the health department, anyone who works with the county government will attest to that. Another thing I would say that drug and substance is one of the challenges that makes our young people get into this mental disorder. But I think this also can be addressed if the county government or the Kisumu Department of Health formulate a policy to understand in our sub-counties where we can get those who are in drug and substance, those who are in mental disorder in related to drug and abuse. Last but not least, Mzee just talked about us, all of us here, having mental disorder. I would say so, that we have mental disorder, but not at all times. It affects an individual, so to speak, when you do a business, do business with the county government, 4 years down the line, you will pay, and this thing gets cubed into your mind. That's not a nervous system. What a number of contractors have committed suicide? Any issue? Why? Because their loans, they are not able to pay loans. And in that regard also, take the information to the president that those who are in good business with the county need to be paid so that they don't get mental disorder. If these are done, then I think we are going to get out of all Wilaya Lijidonga and gain an autonomy. Back to the community. There is a conversation that we can have with one another, talking to each other. Because if we don't talk to each other, then no one can know that so and so is going through certain problem. Like yesterday I was at Jaramogi Oginga Odinga, when I found out that there was a young woman that committed suicide by taking the radiator. When we prayed on the reason as to why the radiator was to be used, then we found out that the husband got married to another woman. This is something that would have been helped if this woman got someone to share with. But apparently, there was nothing like sharing out the challenges. So this woman passed away. So all these challenges for us are challenges that we can cut only if we talk about these challenges in totality. But because I cannot face whatever is giving me, I cannot tell director, we are doing this and this, the director is very close to information around our sub-counties. So I think we also need to find a way of getting information past time to see that they can help the people of Kisumu go about the challenges of mental disorder. Thank you.
The app is called Mara. It's on Google Play Store. And we derive the word Mara from the Swahili word Imara. Now, Imara translates to stable in English. We know that for you to be productive, you need to have a stable mindset. So what Mara does is that we aim at connecting people who have mental issues to professional health service providers by a click of a button. Now, somewhere in places like Migori, you don't have to walk all the way to Kisumu for you to find health support in medical health, in mental health, I mean. But you can just click a button there and then submit a few information. Then a professional from this other side will be able to respond back to you, and then you can get in touch and see how best they can help. And also, we are using technology to cure depression at early stages. We realize most people have friends, real friends that you can sit with and talk to them. So we are implementing a chatbot and also some mobile games that aim at enhancing one's self-esteem. Now, when you know, you can get into the app and then talk to the chatbot, response back to you. It can help you grow your self-esteem, and also it connects you to a physical person, that's the psychiatrist, that you can again now talk to physically and find your support. And also, we realize that most people in Kisumu are suffering from this problem, but they don't know where to find help. Like, we normally go to the hospitals, like at the wellness center in Russia, there, those are the county hospitals, those are the places that we know. But there are also other organizations within town that are doing counseling services, but people don't know. So we worked out these organizations, and then we added them into the app. So when you just click a button, you get to see where the organization is and also find a clear direction to that place. And another thing that we are doing, we are creating a library full of resources that people who are suffering from mental health can access. These resources are like books and also other videos. And also, when you're feeling low, you can access that site and you find those motivational videos. And you get to read these books, watch the videos, and you feel like you're being uplifted. We also thought that will help. There are lots more of other features that we're working on as time goes by. But what I'd like to echo right now is that I presented this to the county already, and it's included in the document that we've submitted. It's part of digitizing mental health. But again, I felt that I need to call out for more partners to come on board. So if you are in the audience and you are working in an organization that's dealing with mental health, you can come on board and then let us work together and see how we can help people. And also, another thing that I'd like to say is Kisumu is not the only place that is suffering from this. So we need to find ways of how we can move these services nationally. And for that, I'd like to call for partners, even though we are outside Kisumu, though we are operating in outside counties, they can come on board and then we see how they can move the services to other places. And one thing, and given I'd like this message to Rick, the president, we really appreciate you, and we appreciate you the good work that is doing. We are feeling the impact of the people of Kisumu, but again, with such like activities that we are trying to do, we find that there is no funding. I was at the county at that time, but again, there is no way they can chip in and support because there are no funds that are allocated to mental health. So if the president, through his cabinet and also the treasury, can find something to do so that we can have funds for mental health and also for pioneering and pushing these activities, it would be much, much better. That was all I have to share right now, and really want to thank you. This is 07-03-356-953. 07-03-356-953. But you can also send me an email, charles@yourzesha.net. 07-03-356-953. You can also send me an email to charles@yourzesha.net. It's my work email. I'll be able to respond back to you. Or odero.charles@gmail.net. @gmail.com, that's my personal email address, but I'll be able to respond back also. Thanks a lot for your
that I wish the government could think and develop
a curriculum which can be used in all learning institutions. And this curriculum should also be used in all colleges as a common unit, so that each and every person in this country should have some knowledge about mental challenge or mental disorder. There should also be sensitization to help prevent, Dr. Ramutoke is not here, to help prevent to deal with the myths and misconceptions about mental disability or challenges. Control of the media, somebody talked about it, but through my counseling sessions I discovered something. Our children are dying committing suicide because of this thing called blue whale suicide game. Who has come across it? Blue whale suicide game. Blue whale suicide game is in the internet. It trains the child how to go about his life until the end of that life. Their language is connected to it, that you go on, you read, and then that man. Stop, you do whatever. I've met so many clients, the youth, they have cut their bodies, and then they cannot really work unless you really go deep with them. But I have full evidence of an institution here where a child died after following the instructions of this blue whale suicide game. Once Google it, you will find it. But now they have removed the cartoon part of it. There should be counseling facilities within reach of each and every person, and how I wish that you deal with the preventive measures, the troubleshooters. I'm here, Dr. Kuto is aware of what I'm talking about. The troubleshooters. These troubleshooters emanate from a number of things that that we are aware of, like the control use of the media. Somebody talked about parenting. The TV contains a lot, and the children should know that whatever they are seeing, those are just games and plays and whatever, but they put them into reality. Yeah. There is also this thing I've come across during my work as a counselor, self-testing kits, that is HIV and AIDS. If I have the self-testing kit and then I test myself, I cannot cancel myself. So many people, I'm sure, have been lost through suicide because of this self-testing kit. One finds himself or herself positive and then he doesn't know what to do about it. The next thing to do is taking off. It's like purchasing drugs and becoming mentally derailed. We should also address marriage institutions, that's what we have talked about. Now, something is very important here. Peer counseling in every working workplace and also in learning institutions. Peer counseling, meaning peer counselors should be trained to be almost everywhere. In workplaces, learning institutions, are also in the community to cater for the youth out of school. And then eradication of drugs such as water. You know what water is in there? Yeah, water is coming from Uganda.
Can you say that again?
Yes, water.
Yeah.
I was trying to do some experiments with water. You take a young one. You take this water. You pour a bit of it for it on Maini will begin boiling, and that is my son. You pour it onto this white ant, not mutua. The mutua just lies like that. And here is a human being taking it. So please address the troubleshooter. Address the barriers that makes those who are already developing to go into these things that make them mentally damaged.
That's
what
I
say.
What is the problem? This morning, I came here a bit early and when I was going out briefly, I met Professor. And my mind started thinking about epidemic this morning. All the way down, Grantham and Montauk, sometimes actually. I did a person who was mentally challenged for 9 years. And that was my life. I'm not sure if you remember my friends. I came to my referral. I was referred to me by brothers, survivors, and I really helped him. My wife suffered mental illness for 9 years. And my dear brothers, I suffered In fact, I needed more support than my wife. It was a very difficult moment for me. I was working in my way, and every weekend I had to come home because my children were small, they were needed to take care of them, and here I am. It was not easy. I remember sometimes at night, it could be raining, and my wife would take the key to our door and sleep outside. And there is what they call, they say in New York, that we were not. So when we were in the I could fall asleep. And on realizing that my wife was not there, I could get out in the darkness where it was still raining, and I would go directions we were looking for. At this time, children were crying in the house. They were there. I tell you, these were very, it was a difficult time. Dr. Cooper, you may bear awareness from a long time ago, from a long time. Joe, you are there, I can see you. Mr. Chin, here. These were some of the friends who could help me. And I'm saying this because I got a job in 2010 and I was sacked because my employer would not listen to me. My employer did not even want to get a moment with me. It was terrible for me. So I remember one morning, my boss called me in the office and told me, please, I don't want anything else. I just want 2 minutes. Tell me whether you are going to choose your job or your home. And I stopped quiet. But inside me, I had already chosen my family. I said, I would rather lose my job, but keep to my family. Don't tell me, don't tell me, my wife got hurt. And I saw that a good thing.
Good afternoon. I'm Peter Nyango, lucky to be a police officer and a practicing counselor. Let me start from the point where my brother ended. Combat counseling is important, but now I'm amazed that in tech, it is the only profession that starts at a degree holder. That is being unjust, doing an injustice to the profession. So, because the act that came said, for you to handle a client, you have to have a degree. And now I'm asking myself, we have nurses with certificate and the procedure. We have teachers with where they are and the managing. Who is it that counseling you have to be a degree holder? How did it start from somewhere where normal issues start from? Two, in Kenya we like diagnosing things wrong. And that culture too should be read right. Because even here, we are talking about mental health, but it's like we are talking about mental illness. I'm going to wonder here. These other professionals who are doing in the task force, can we get a policy that will say the basic package of the need or insurance covers, the basic one, includes mental health? So that anybody was about to even like, there are some packages which cover that one. But the basic package should cover mental health. Whereby you have a problem, you just enter into a counselor's room, you have to do it, then the next pain. Thank you.
My name is Dibon Arena. I'm working with the National Police Service. And the confidentiality and the confidentiality in this house. This is a task force and is a public struggle of color. I just stood up to tell my brother and my colleague that I'll speak for myself because I know what I wanted to tell you. Okay, James Walter, previous itself and looks strong and dirty. But how quality is this person? You will bring it in, and that's the reason why I say it, let me share. I'm also a trade counselor, trained by the government, been working in partnership with a money counselor. Okay, I want to say this. Everybody here, we have a disorder. Is that not true? It is true, we have a disorder. And there are disorders that are work oriented. That's the reason why I just want to be dirty and get it out. Many a times we have been here because of our nature of job, we go with others, others to prevent the peacekeeping peace. But sometimes peacekeeping peace, we are creating more serious problems to begin other people. We are trained in such a way that we go out to a lot of perseverance, endurance, and being that the social manner supposed to be makes a person. We have to be complex of them. And remember, just 3 quarters of them, we have the thinking brain, we have the emotional brain, and we have the survival brain. My dear people, understand the police. We might act in a way that is not us. Because many times, due to our employee training and any other things, I have a particular case. And that is the reason why it is not a question of giving me time. We are a community of our own, but we also serve. The people we serve, that is your people. Because of nature of our work, we are important. And the more people protect where we are, everybody remembers the people. This is very touching professor. There's three of our officers that ran away after being in the battlefield. All of those boys were killed. They were going to the side. And they were working with that. As a type of doctor in the West, and these people were dismissed. It's like my brother, you choose your life, then you choose your work. You know the rule says, when you decide duty for a period of time, you are dismissed. But because it is not only in the police, it is in the government, this thing will help a lot. You have trauma and it goes to the brain. It goes to the brain. This officer cannot go back to normalcy and it cannot perform. After he being hypervigilant. Ourselves even when you have a particular cancer, the people who are saying about cancer sometimes are this. You need to move because that is the place you can have pleasure. So, I'm appealing to this room. Can you people understand the belief? With those vulnerable remarks, I was organized last year. Or, at this hour, and in all of these things from 2008, if the wellness, I changed a lot in physical, but when I realized those things were better than the brain, you can only go home with mama, a bit to Russia, a bit to Avenue, a bit. Last year, okay, what did I think? I visited TV, that's level 6. I got a report from a doctor, who is a physician doctor, who told me, all this is not a blood test. He called it ultrasound, gravity, Doppler. This is not enough, but they are not a blood book. Two people. So, I realized those things, those people things were better than my brain. And we come, everywhere I can report it. And then we go to the herbalist. I'm going to check now. I appreciate that perspective.
My name is Eric Okioma. I'm a pastor living with HIV for quite a number of years. I'm on antiretroviral therapy. I use medicine. And currently, as I speak, as I stand here, I'm a widow. I lost my wife 3 years ago, but on something else, not related to HIV. I have 4 kids, and currently I don't stay with them in my house. Currently I stay alone. One thing that I really wanted to highlight is that I think it is important to mainstream issues of mental health in all our policies, be it HR, because HR issues are coming. Be it all activities, all programs, be it a church or ever, that is something that should be part and parcel of all the things that we, once carrying out any activity, must have an element of issues of, talking about issues of mental health, so that we can get that groundswell support, to support it. I think people have said, I've repeated so many times, but I believe that in Africa you have to repeat things several times. Because you need to go to a camera. You have to go through a few times before you plan. So we keep on repeating and saying and reminding the people. We must remind the people, the duty bearers, such that they don't forget. So I think the inclusion of mental health in our educational curriculum, such that it touches from the time of time goes to school, from the house and everything. Such that, in the end of the day, this child is going to be able to understand what mental health is. Some of the reasons, I'll give reasons, and I'll share part of my experience and part of experience of particularly young people who are going to schools, young people living with HIV. And we actually, it's really good to support what people have said and what is happening, so that we know the reality and we know the point of the matter. The other bit, apart from that, when we look at our schools, if you go to our schools, particularly when a young child who is a PLHIV is transiting to secondary school and is going to abandon school and is a child who has been on ARVs. Most of those children, their mental levels have gone down simply because when they get in school, they don't get that professional person who is able to handle and understand them. So I echo the sentiments of my friends in terms of, you know, we have what we call career guidance. I don't know that you will correct me in our English. Career guidance and counseling are two different things. So, as much as you might have the peer counselors in school, everybody can be a peer counselor. In the community, everywhere, all that we can have, just to support. When I say you know, it's good,
there was a mass training of counselors. Some of the people, the some of their backgrounds, when they don't attend the program in terms of accountability, they could never move up and actually now try to understand the aspects of what psychology is and all those kind of things. So there, because it was an emergency, something had to be done. So what we are saying, in schools, we need professional psychologists, child psychologists, to deal with this children and growth-starting issues, not just HIV. Because our children face a myriad of issues which should be looked at from a professional angle, and some of you have less time. Yeah, every time you have entered in a boarding school, I believe you've taken your children to boarding schools, some of you are here of my age, and you realize that when you reach school, you are told to open your boxes, you are in a new environment, the person there doesn't understand about the issues of those medicines and all those kind of things, and at times a child is exposed, or at times even us as parents, we never share with our children even the medicines that they are taking. So if you look at the kind of mental torture that person has undergoes and a parent can live, and at the same time when it comes to school, it becomes another problem because we have to disclose to another person, and this person that you're disclosing to, you don't know how it's going to manage that it's all tell answer with a high level of work because we forget. Children need to come back home. Normally, if you go to ask the patient support facility there, they'll actually tell you that children back who are people living in HIV, when they come back, adolescents living in HIV, when they come back home, the viral load is high. So unless we have the mechanism to look into this thing and ensure that they work, and mostly it is something related to mental health. Because I have people talking about HIV, yes, HIV is one of those diseases and it has a lot of things like the situation that I've shared with you. As a person living with HIV in the community, I don't think, let us just agree that people with disability, people with different types of issues within our communities. I swear today I will say to sit here, tell me how many psychosocial groups we have in our communities. Just supporting different people facing different challenges in our communities. And here is the Ministry of Health. We are not a darling of community structure. Because a CFD might never understand me. So it can be bad, yes, it's not bad. But one thing, they also need to understand and know that there are some local health actors who should be encouraged, we should have those policies, things that come in that encourage formation of those groups which can work with those community health workers in our community health systems. So unless you get that, you will never get it right. So we have as I say, like a person like me is a leader. We have leaders. We have several. We try to form small groups with, but when it comes to issues of us talking about our issues and looking at how we could go about it, we realize that a big group of those kind of groups which can share a lot of information down here in terms of the real issues and the real challenges we face, nobody talks about. Nobody even talks about it's about programming, it's about people waiting for DOC to give out funds, they're waiting for the local fund, we're creating another expert in the community. And that is what is happening. So unless people look at those groups as resources, encourage them to be there, support them, and give resources in terms of people getting that information and now doing the prevention part of it and even early detection, which can reduce, in fact, that can reduce our health budgets. And I think those are some of the things that we really have to look into that.
Another problem is the suicide prevention mission. These things
I just say the police are doing a very good job. Because last time, you remember the professor in the other meeting, I kept doing a study this time that when the police is doing a commitment, and I'm very happy that our police are always here, you know they are here. The chiefs, you have been saying this here, you have just left. The third place for the suicide mission to be received, the first meeting is being received by the police. This police will be in every area because they are the people. Anything that has just been mentioned to the law for ourselves, the first person who comes is the police. Even the ambulance, we as the community, we just come here as ambulance. How many people remove these people from the law? Nothing. If that time, even if the option is not there, they are just here for the police. Let's say there is a certain accident that around the cemetery. There's a certain wood block in the ditch. So everybody are just there waiting for the police to come in that way of the breakdown. So the police must be, I just want to say they have must be involved in chiefs.
One of the ways that I encourage for the government to use to help the patient to come out of mental problems is by the use of self-help groups and CBOs. So when one wants to open a CBO or a self-help group, you realize that the registration process is cumbersome, in that you find there's a registration fee, you have to talk to your area chief and things like that. So I would like to ask the president that the registration fee should be brought down or should not be there at all, so that people can find ways of interacting with each other at the community level, where you can find, let's say, members of a boda-boda group who can talk together and have time to encourage each other.
I would like to mention two issues. One, for the most of the pastors out here, I have had the privilege of working in the Evangelistic Center. Most of the pastors, not all of them, sometimes you get there and before you even explain what you really have come for, the pastors want to tell you your problem. So I was asking if there's a way that the government can maybe, I don't know if there's a professional body on the counselors. Because you see, for the adolescents, once you get to a counseling center, they try to assume maybe you're having a boyfriend or maybe you're under the use of, you're abusing drugs. So at times, the process does not go well because the counselors are already because of the nature of Kenyans to nationalize everything, so it's like a business. So you get there and they really want to push problems that they need to have on you. So I think it would be prudent enough if they listen and maybe I prefer a mediation kind of thing in such a way that they listen to you and maybe for listening they can really identify what your problem is. And then the other issue is now that there are rehabilitation centers, they might not be enough, but the fact that the things that are in place, so we find that people have identified the problems, the victims have walked in there, they are receiving help. So once the process comes to an end, the problem becomes the transitioning from the rehabilitation center to coming back to the society. How does the society perceive you? How do you transit from, you know, maybe you are an addict of something, so when you get back to the society, the society still sees you as the same person. So it really becomes difficult. It really becomes difficult for you to become the person that you have grown to become something. So let's have a proper way of transitioning from that.
Our societal type of communal living has broken down. And if we go back to them, then we will be able to identify mental issues at the very fastest onset. Some of us parents who are seated here, you live with your children inside your house and you do not know them. Until someone calls you and tells you, your daughter or your son has done this, and you're the first one to say, no. It begins from that point. Sit down with them. The mental issues we will be addressing at home. Another thing comes that rights come with responsibilities. Professor, the government is easy to tell us these are the rights. There was a lady who spoke here and she really spoke very hard about rights of ladies. Rights come with responsibility. If it is your right as a child that I should not pay you, then it is equal your responsibility to desist from the things that will make me pay you. But if you don't desist from them, then it is equally my right to correct you. And let me also talk for and on behalf of men. In our setup as Africans, men have been told that you are not supposed to cry. You are weeping. You are not supposed to do this because you are weeping. In my years of counseling, I have had chances and opportunities of sitting down with men, and they walk through that door, and they close the door behind them, and because they are sure they are safe, all they do is to cry. They cry, and after crying, they take the bacteria sanity, and they walk out. Why? They only needed a place to relieve their pain. So, as things have been put in place in consideration for mental health, something needs to be done about men's ego. When I'm in Alcohapa, the men who are seated here, our ego is killing us faster because we get it, we sit with it, and we say we can't tell this woman, and we end up in a bar. Thinking has been compromised with alcohol, you don't know the outcome. Last but not least is our media. That's right, media council. Our media, as much as we're in a free country where everything is free, but really, is everything permissive? I go back to the days when we had the former president retired, His Excellency Daniel Arap Moi. And there are certain things you will not do in the media in this country. And I can say it helps this country. So, I'm not asking that we go back to those things, but I think the media council needs to sit down and be able, at some level, regulate some of the content that comes out. Because today, we do not have news. We only have bad news. When it is not bad news, then it is not news.
I'm Daniel Kipchumoi from Moi University, a student of law, and I want to speak concerning students, especially at the tertiary level. You see, at the tertiary level, there's a lot of depression and stress emanating from relationship, financial stress, and all these even academic stuff. And then, these things also emanate from home, our families. Mother Teresa says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. That's what the challenge she is posing to our parents. If you love your daughter or your son, she won't go around men asking for money, and then tomorrow you hear on news she was big on a shocker. If a couple headlines, there's a lot of stress from that. And then our institutions are not dealing with that stress. You know, we have psychologists, we have counseling psychologists, but in most times they are lecturers. Ikifika kwa counseling, anakwambia, hey, sasa hivi mimi kwa session, wewe uko jail. And somebody wants to commit suicide. You want to say, Gadget? Again, another thing, I'm going to be very brief. I think we need to form a national helpline that deals with suicide and depression. There are people who have known, even on online, we've chatted, they have shared a meme, but people are bottling their feelings. Why? Because we are very judgmental. We label them. Because this is the only short wires, you need me. Things to do with mental health that are very serious. I'm going to do it. I'm thankful for the task force. I hope the president will get to this and will see the light of it. It's a good story. I left another thing. Please go and follow the Depression Watch camp. It was launched last week by friends. It's very helpful. Shama Lugana and Aviva mobilize Nini and out. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think I'm still here. The reason I'm still.
Do you want that time? Maybe 6? A cough?
used to be a teacher, but they say one is a teacher, forever a teacher. Somehow, okay, before I say my issues, let me just ask how many of your parents here? How many are parents? If you are parents, how many parents feel like their children, their children have the doctors? You want to take a child to hospital, how many of them are happy to go there? How many people are talking here and, you know, having psychiatrists in school? A child is not comfortable with the doctor. A child takes more time with the teacher than the doctor. I don't know if it is somewhere. Is it really easy to believe that a psychiatrist is being helped by a child that a teacher can't help? So the child comes to school at 7, some of them at 6, will stay in school the whole day. When you have to discover that a child has been molested, it is either the police or the teacher will take him. So it means if the task force wants to help these children in school, empower those teachers, including to have psychology as one of the units we are learning, but it isn't enough because we have very little time learning that. Instead of bringing those psychiatrists to school, can you take these teachers through a course, empower them so that they help those children that at the same time, we don't change our method, our approach. When a volunteer wants to take out an abortion, she does it out in the community. When a volunteer, or even a volunteer wants to commit suicide, there has to be someone out there who knows that the boy broke a rope somewhere. And we empower the community as well. Let us talk to the members of the Parents Council so that they can help us take care of these children so that we take care of their mental health. Thank you.
I'm a nurse professional. What I wanted to say is that we have mental facilities that are operating, but those facilities are not standardized like the one we have in Kisumu District or Magari. If you see the conditions that our patients are living in, they're not of good conditions. So at the As you've been taking our point, one of the things you should consider is making those mental facilities to be of the standards so that our patients are taken good care of, even the fact that we have few nurses who are attending to them, we have few psychiatrists. We need to make the facilities to be of standards for us to at the end of the day for them to get better services.
I want to take this opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to thank all of you for being patient, for being participatory, and for contributing so much to the work that we're doing. If at the end of the day a report is produced and there are lapses in implementation, it will not be because you did not tell us what needs to be done. It will not necessitate us coming back to ask you again what needs to be done. It will be something else, isn't it? And it will be public, and you can take parts of it, and in your local area and in the government, you can advocate for those sections to be implemented at your, wherever you are. So I think this task force is very grateful to you, the residents of Kisumu, for the great participation. We are grateful to the county government of Kisumu, represented here by the two gentlemen. In the morning we visited the CEC, we met the deputy governor, and they are very supportive. And the deputy governor already started talking about gaps that they have seen that they need to start addressing even as they wait for a report. So I think that is a good thing. Another thing is you have organized yourselves as stakeholders in this area, and you are doing a lot of work mapping, identifying solutions. Do not stop just because there's a task force report coming. Continue, because you can then become an example to other counties on how they can do this thing. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you, and I want to hand over back to you to finalize the session.